Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Scroobius Pip, and this is episode no number, because it hasn't got a number, because I've already numbered the future ones, and this is an unexpected bonus one. So this is episode number bonus. And basically, I just wanted to do a quick one, because this is going to go out on Sunday, on Monday. It's going to go out on Monday, Sunday at midnight, so as Monday starts. On Monday, man, I've got so much to announce and share with you all. So I thought, as a lot of you will miss my Facebook posts and tweets and everything else, I'll just tell you all in the podcast and we can relax and get into it a bit more. So I'm going to do that. Obviously, we're brought to you by Speech Development Records. In fact, one of the things I may as well announce early, it's not available yet, is a new product on Speech Development Records. We're going to have these new hats. They're absolutely amazing. I got the prototypes through today. In fact, I'm recording this a couple of days early, and they're wicked, man. They've got our slogan. I think the Speech Development Record slogan is fucking brilliant, and it's underused because I don't really put it anywhere or do anything with it. But the slogan is, "We may not be for you, and that's fine." And that's our motto. So we've made these new caps that stitched and embossed in the top. It just says, "We may not be for you," which is just a great mantra. And then embossed in a leather topped peak, it says, "And that's fine." So that's kind of hidden from the general view, but if your head's down, it's all clear. On the underside, we've got a red peak with the Speech Development logo designed by Mr. Heggie repeated on there as if it's Louis Vuitton or some shit. So yeah, they're really good, and they're going to be available soon. That's one announcement, and I've not even started the podcast yet. So let's play the intro music and start the podcast. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. Right. Hello. I mean, this episode isn't even an Ask Pip. This is just a listen to fucking Pip. So this could be the point that the podcast has truly disappeared up its own arse. But yeah, I just wanted to have a chat with you all because you're all so lovely. And I've got so much to tell you and to announce and to share. So I thought, obviously I will be posting it online and all these kind of things, but it's all on one day and I thought it'd be cool to do a podcast, because this is kind of, as much as I like social media, the weird communication that we have via the podcast has kind of become my favorite form of interaction and communication. So thank you all who are all you regular listeners who say nice things every now and then and share the love. What shall I begin with? I mean, man, well, let's start with, I announced online the other day, because in the last year, I've done a load of stuff that I've announced on the podcast before announcing on social media. So I thought I'd flip that up. So I've not told you guys yet. A lot of you will have seen it, but I've not told you guys yet. But tickets have now gone on sale for my birthday and book launch live podcast at the Leicester Square Theatre on August 3rd. August 3rd is my 35th birthday. You can come along and take part in that. And the way we're going to do it, when I did the live podcast before, I started with a short interview with a guest. Again, I wouldn't want to have a full guest on, because I think what makes this podcast work is the intimacy of it. And we had Ed Scryan on last week, and that went down a treat. And what a lot of people commented on was how relaxed it was and how intimate it was. And if that's in a room full of people, I think that would be lost. So we did the first half as a guest, Keith, who's a mega fan, who's been to over 70 of my shows. And we did that quickly. And then we did the bit that was meant to be just an add-on, but turned into the most popular part of the whole event. So basically, I had audience questions, but rather than passing a mic around the crowd, I got people to queue up at the side of the stage and one by one come on stage, sit down with me and have an actual question and discussion. So it's not just, "What's your favourite colour?" and then I say, and then you're on your way. If it's a topic or subject, then we can debate it a bit. Obviously, we can't take too long because there's a queue of people. But so I think we're just going to do the whole podcast. I like that. I'll probably come out and ramble for a bit beforehand. That's in my nature. And then we'll just get comfy, set up, and do the whole podcast. So that's the plan. Them tickets are on sale now on the Leicester Square Theatre website. So head there. It's on August 3rd. That's the also the launch day of my book, the Distraction Pieces book, which I've mentioned a few times. I've not got pre-order links up yet, but as soon as I do, I'll let you know. And man, I mean, that's one of the things I've been working on, and it's hugely exciting just going over. There's been a few different ones. In case you haven't caught what it's going to be, the way we're doing it is I'm picking numerous themes and topics as chapter headings and then going through and taking sections from different podcasts that are speaking on that subject. So I've got some great stuff with Riz Ahmed about politics and Akala. So the politics section will have people like Riz Ahmed and Akala and Russell Brand and Killer Mike and Billy Bragg and just all these amazing people all giving their views and opinions on a topic. And then there'll be the mental health section, which will have Gail Porter and Eddie Temple Morris and Tom Robinson and all these amazing people giving their views and opinions on that. And then there'll be a music section that's got like a Ramesh Ranganathan and numerous other people. I think we've got some Frank Turner bits in there on the music front and all sorts of things like that on live performance. So we have this weird compendium of people's views and opinions on a variation of topics. So it becomes more than just kind of a collection of podcast highlights or anything like that. So yeah, so that's cool. And that's coming out in August. And we're trying to sort a weird thing because I like to put in effort and time. I'm from a working class family in Essex. That's just how it has to be. So I wanted to do a book tour for the book, but the problem is I'm not doing any spoken word at the moment. I promised myself that until I have new material, a new album actually, because we're going to get onto some new material in a minute, that while you're listening to this may already be available. A new album. I don't want to do any gigs, any gigs, any spoken word gigs, any full band gigs, any live gigs. But I wanted to tour to promote the book, and I thought I don't just want to tour about and just do a sign-ins in loads of bookshops, because that's a bit, that'd make me feel a weird man. When my graphic novel came out, I did a couple of sign-ins, and if you look at any of the pictures, I'm the most awkward person in the world. I've popped like a shirt and tie on to try and feel professional, and just it's awkward and uncomfortable. So what I decided that we're probably going to do, and again, I can't do readings from the book because I'm not going to do an impression of Adam Buxton as I'm reading his section and his views and comments. So the way we decided it'd work would be to do essentially a few live unrecorded podcasts around the country, and we're confirming them and firming them up. We're going to do a few in Waterstones, hopefully a few in venues. And what it will be is I'll tour about, I might bring a mate with me. I'm talking to Chris, who comes on the Drunk podcast. And the first bit will be kind of him just asking me some questions and talking. And then the next part will be any of you guys that want to come along and come up and have a chat, come and ask some questions. And the thing that excites me about these ones is it's not building up content for podcasts. We're doing the big live one in London that we're recording and releasing. That's happening. That's fine. But these are going to be just for us in the room. And it also might allow the stories to be a little bit more free flowing, as it were. So I'm excited about that. And the most exciting thing about that is it annoys me that every time there's a live podcast, it seems to be in London. And I know that we've got listeners obviously outside the country, but within the country, I know we've got listeners in the Midlands, in Manchester up north, in Scotland, and all these places. So we plan, at the moment, the plan is to do the London one and then work our way up the country and do a Midlands one, like a Manchester or something, and then do Scotland, probably Edinburgh. It's going to be in August, so probably the Fringe and the Literature Festival will be on, so do that. And then work our way back down and do another northern one, maybe Leeds or Liverpool, and then maybe come down to Bristol or Cardiff, try and get Wales in if we can, and then end it in Essex, because in Essex, my mum works in the libraries. So I think the perfect place to either start it or end it is going to be Essex, in one of my mum's libraries. And yeah, that's kind of the plan for that. So keep your eye out on that. That isn't even... It isn't even one of the announcements. What to go with next? Let's get on to new music, because the biggest announcement is about a documentary that we've almost have ready for you that we've been working on. But let's go with new music. So if you're listening to this on Monday, at some point, I think at 10 a.m. on Monday morning, I'm going to drop a new track, and it's the first new track in ages. And let me explain. Some of you will know about 3 years ago, I did a track called No Nimbus, and no Nimbus came about. I was driving home from somewhere. In fact, I was driving in Basildon to go to the cinema at the Festival Leisure Park, and a song by Grimes called Oblivion came on, and I really liked it, and I started to write a vocal to go over it. And then I watched a film, and on the way back, the vocal was still going through my head, so I kept writing it on the drive home. And then I got home and I recorded it, and that was on the Monday, I think. This is a bit Craig David. I recorded it on the Monday. No, I recorded it on the. I wrote it on the Monday, recorded it on the Tuesday. And then later on in that week, I shot a video for it. And the next Monday, I might have the slight days wrong. It was basically in a week from hearing the song to writing the song to recording the song to doing a video to posting a video. Was all within a week, and that's kind of happened again. I was driving back from up north, or I can't think where. I had a long drive the other Monday, probably after a podcast, maybe after next week's podcast with Michael Socker. Popped up to Derbyshire for that. I was driving home, and a song came on my pod, a song that I'm very familiar with, obviously, and I'm a fan of. And on this drive, I started to notice the gaps, and I started to kind of think, right, I could maybe write to this, and I started to write a vocal. And in that one drive, I wrote a vocal. So I got home, and I've got a studio at home now. I had it built. I've been working on it for a long time. I've got some beautiful AKGs in there, and some lovely a lovely setup. So I recorded this vocal, and then I sent it over to Wargie, who started the podcast with me and produces a lot of stuff with me, and produced No Nimbus in that respect, in putting the vocal on and layering it over. And he put it all on this, and I talked to Tom Coles, who I've done all my music videos with since Introdiction, and loads of other stuff. Where he's my wonderful partner in musicianship. And I spoke to Tom, and I spoke to Chris Glasson of Redshift Rebels, who's also just a helpful and creative dude, and Gemma Stoddard, who's worked on a lot of the videos as well, and is a great dance teacher and choreographer. And we came up with a video plan, and then on Friday night, we went out and we recorded that video, and that's kind of it. It's these ones, No Nimbus and this one, they're kind of really important to me because they tend to just pop up and appear at points where either I'm not writing or there's other things. Essentially, at times when there's some kind of crisis of confidence in some way, whether that be due to private life situations or tough things going on over a year or whatever else, or like work situations. Like at the moment, I'm not doing what I've kind of trained myself to be the best at, in my opinion, or the best for me, if you know what I mean. I'm working on a lot of things outside of music at the moment, and that's exciting, but it can make you panic and question if you've got that writing in you, if you've got that ability in you. So it's hugely exciting to go, right, let's make something in a week. Let's create something from scratch in a week, and then just put it up there. It can't be released. It's not released properly. I don't own the rights to the original song. The original song is Stay High, featuring Hippie Sabotage. It's the Habits a remix. I don't own it, so it's not going to be released. Everyone got mad at me, the Grimes one, and No Nimbus didn't get released. This one's very much a follow-up to that. It's called No Whimpers. But yeah, I can't release it, but hopefully it will stay up on YouTube and no one will get mad at me because we've created something there. So yeah, the first bit of rapping I've done in a while. I've been writing. I'm working on new material. I've written some of this, what I think is the strongest stuff I've ever written. So there's exciting stuff to come, but it was all the more exciting to get this new material down. And it's only a few short verses, but it was great to hear back from Wargie about a particular Rihanna reference in line that he particularly enjoyed. And yeah, that was fun, and that is up. So if you listen to this after 10 p.m, that is up now. If you listen to this at 10 p.m, then there we go. If you listen to this at midnight, let's jump around the weekend a little bit, because I'm recording this a few days early. So let's jump around the weekend a little bit. Also this week, and I'm going to get to the big documentary announcement at the end. There's been so much going on. This week I got to write an article with Roy Billingham at Bloody Elbow, which is one of the best and most respected MMA blogs in the world. It's a blog that I read regularly. I'm a fan of Bloody Elbow. So when they approached me to help write a preview for the Eddie Bravo Invitational 6, which is Sunday night on Fight Pass and on a few other places. It's a submission only grappling tournament. There's no strikes, there's no punching, it's not brutality. It's the most beautiful form of grappling and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And the system that Eddie Bravo has built, I mean, I rambled about this on the podcast and I ramble about it a lot in the article, but I think it's beautiful and it makes for the most exciting contest imaginable in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, in grappling, in submission grappling. It's pretty great. So I got to write that. So if you're listening to this at midnight, I'm probably up at this point as well, eagerly waiting EBI 6 because the lineup's amazing. If you get a chance, go and read that blog. Even if you're listening to this after the fact, the point of it is it's a blog for people who don't necessarily know anything about a submission grappling. You know, that's the point of it. It's for the casual fan. It's to try and show why I'm as excited about that as I am for the UFC at the weekend and everything else. I'm also going to a wrestling event, so I'm crazy excited about that. Progress, which is of course run by Jim Smallman, host of Tuesday Night Jaw, which launched a couple of weeks ago and went straight to number two in the sports podcast chart on iTunes. There's been two episodes now and they're going down a treat. If you've not checked it out, it's on the Distraction Pieces and Network. So I'm a guest on the first episode. I'm going to be on there regularly as well. Yeah, if you've not checked it out already, go and check that out. You will enjoy it. What should I talk about next? I'm going to have a little swig of water. Have a little think if I want to get straight onto the documentary stuff now. I guess I do. So this comes out. This podcast has gone up on Monday the 25th of April. And the 25th of April is my favourite day of the year because it's the anniversary of the death of a dear friend of mine, Jamie Knott. And I love anniversaries because I think death isn't something that should be a morbid and sad thing. Generally, on the 25th of April, it's the one time I love going on Facebook because all of our friends and Jay's family and everyone is sharing memories and pictures. More often than not, on this day or around this day, me and Chris, who I've mentioned a few times and a few others, will go around to Jay's family's house and have a drink and just talk and reminisce. And fuck, I love that. It's a beautiful thing. But let me... this does go somewhere. I'm not just having an emotional rant. No Commercial Breaks was my debut album, and I released it 10 years ago today. The date was no mistake. There was a point of releasing it on the anniversary, on Jay's anniversary, as tribute. So this is the 10-year anniversary. And when I released No Commercial Breaks, I've talked about this a few times, and I'll talk about it more in the documentary we've made. We're making a documentary about it. I'm staying out of it. Tom, who I've mentioned previously, Tom Coles, who's done all the music videos, and Chris Glasson are kind of working on it, and there's a reason. So I quit my job, and I've been working in HMV, and I saved up enough to not have to work for a year. Only a few grand. I'm a cheap dude. And this was in 2006. And I bought a 1987 Toyota Space Cruiser, and I decided to tour around the country living in that. But before I did, I sent out a load of flyers, and I'm going to read you. I've got a flyer in front of me. I sent them out to just people I know to distribute around the country. And it says, "The Relying on Kindness of Strangers Tour 2006. In May 2006, I'm going to get in a van and start driving around the country. The rest is up to you. If you're organising an event, Scroobius Pit will perform. Got a band? I'll do a track with you at your next gig. I work in a book/coffee shop. I'll come and do an a cappella set. Got a radio show? I'll appear on it. I'm open to suggestion. At the worst, I will tour the country and just perform on streets. At the best, small children could learn to love again. The concept album is dead. Long live the concept tour." And then it just says scroobiuspip.co.uk at the bottom, and that was how people would get in touch. So we did the Relying on the Kindness of Strangers tour, and I toured about the country, and Chris came with me for a bit. My mate Mutt came with me for a bit. Alan, aka Overview, came with me for a bit, who played drums on the album. And we took a camera with us, and it occurred to me recently that I've never even watched all the videos. And in no way do I think that I have some iconic, legendary career that needs documenting, but I have built a beautiful fan base. And that tour was my first ever performances Do you know what I mean? It includes like the first times I stepped up to the mic. Before I got in that van, I hadn't said anything into a mic in public ever as Scroobius Pip as a performer. So it kind of occurred to me that because we'd documented that, that's something that could be of interest to you guys. So I spoke to Tom and said, look, if I get all this footage converted onto DVD, can you kind of go through and put a documentary together? Equally, I was like, I don't want to be too involved because I don't want it to be Scroobius Pip making a documentary about how great Scroobius Pip is. That's not the point of it. But I did think it's this cool collection of footage that it'd be stupid to not do something with. So Tom got Chris involved, and they've been kind of interviewing and doing talking heads with the people who worked on No Commercial Breaks. So Roscoe Iller, Ross Lawson, and Overview, Alan Shortis. And we worked on it in this short amount of time. They've been talking to Flamejar, who made one of the beats, and Mutt, who came on the tour. So people I was working with at HMV when I quit, like when I was writing the record. I don't know what they've talked about. They've talked to a guy called Martin, who owned the studio that we recorded in. And I've not seen or talked to Martin since we did that. So I'm excited to see that, because that's a fascinating thing. Because he had a lot of involvement in reality. I'd never been in a studio before, ever, until No Commercial Breaks. And Martin, he's the uncredited producer of the record, which I didn't even know at the time. It was just he recorded it all. He mixed it and mastered it and handed it over. So speaking to Martin and all sorts of people and putting that all together with any of the usable footage from the tour, I don't know what's on there. I know we recorded some of the performances. I also know we recorded a lot of us rambling and talking shit. I'm probably younger and less cynical then. In fact, I can confirm I was definitely younger then, 10 years younger. But yeah, that's kind of what's going to happen. We're not 100% sure what we're going to do with it yet, if it's going to be a YouTube thing, if it's going to be something that we can package up nicely and sell to you guys as a nice commemorative thing. But we will figure it out, I promise you. I'd like to do something nice with it, if we can sling it on iTunes or something on the cheap, so Tom and Chris and that can get paid off the back of it. That'd be lovely. But yeah, I just wanted to let you know that there's a documentary on its way that includes tons of old footage and exciting things. What else is on the way? We've got, and next week we've got the podcast with Michael Socker, who was in Aliens and This Is England and Being Human and loads of amazing things. I'm going to swig some more water now. I'm just filling a bit of space to try and make this episode like worth downloading. Then the week after that, we've got a woman on. At last. Everyone gets mad at me for not having women on, but it's not a choice, honestly. I've had so many women cancelled purely by chance. I've lined a lot of women up for the podcast, and we, for some reason, tend to have a lot just not work out. But we've got two on the way, because next week we've got the amazing Kathy Burke, and goddamn, it's a great chat. Kathy Burke is an absolute hero of mine. I didn't mention to her that when I was younger that she was one of my first celebrity crushes, because she was funny and an amazing actress and powerful. So got Kathy Burke on, who was actually has recently been on the Adam Buxton podcast, which has returned, and I highly recommend you listen to that first, even, because we tried to avoid crossing over too many of the topics and subjects. So yeah, check that out. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. It's great. Then we've got Izzy Sooty, who was an absolute joy. Again, the time just flew by. A fascinating chat. I then had two podcasts lined up. In fact, I'll tell you about this, because they were cancelled and it was a shame. It wasn't anyone's fault, but it was a shame. I was lined up, ready and prepared and appointments booked to interview first Kimbo Slice and then Josh Koscheck, two MMA legends. Kimbo, more a street fighting a legend, and then, you know, he's had some great moments and some not so great moments in MMA, but I mean, I personally respect him. I think he came into MMA the right way with the UFC, for example, like when he came through the Ultimate Fighter. And if you respect the fact that he's come into it as an older dude that's got some injuries, he's not here to be the best in the world, he's here to have some good fights and put it out there. And then obviously there was that Dada fight that I was so excited to talk to him about all of it. And Josh Koscheck as well, man. I was excited before I started planning it, and then when I started to plan it, I realized how much of an important dude he was in MMA, from from being on the first Ultimate Fighter to being one of the first people to kind of embrace the smack talk and the heel character and kind of to be the bad guy that Chael Sonnen and Connor and all these others have kind of pushed since, then, you know, him going from fighting so regularly and getting all these knockout bonuses and fight of the night bonuses to getting to the title shot and being having one of the most brutal kind of injuries in a match I've seen, and then walking away from the UFC and signing with a Bellator. And, you know, it was announced this week, in fact, that the Bellator are having their first date in the UK, and Josh Koscheck is going to have his rematch with Paul Daly, which was a big story at the time. Paul Daly got kicked out of the UFC because after Josh beat him, Paul smacked Josh in the face long after the bell and was immediately kicked out because, despite what those who don't watch MMA think, it's not a sport for that kind of behaviour. It's not for thuggish behaviour. But it's exciting that their careers have come back round and they can re-meet. See, I had both of those guys hooked up, and then the day before I found out that Kimbo was ill and hadn't flown to the UK, which sucks. And then literally at 10:30 the night before I was going to get the 8 o'clock train to go and chat with Josh, I found out that had to change his flight time, so he was returning to the US early. But they're both in line for future podcasts, so we will be getting round to that. I promise you. I promise you this. That's about all that's going on, I think. I've got the return of We Are Lizards next week, my club night. We're at the book club with a super surprise special guest that I can't reveal to you. I want to reveal to you, but I can't. I can't do it, but it's good. I promise you it's good. It's next Saturday. What's that, the 30th? Saturday the 30th of April. It's a DJing legend, a much praised, regularly in the top 20 lists in DJ magazines. Yeah, I recommend you come along to that. If you want to be on the guest list, send your names to info@thetrashsociety.com. info@thetrashsociety.com. So come along to that. I don't know if I should announce it yet because it's not 100% confirmed, but we're fucking coming back to Birmingham, aren't we? We've done a We Are Lizards at the Hare and Hounds a few times. And yeah, it's always good there. The crowd's crazy. We love you guys. I'm a big fan of Birmingham in general. And we were asked back in May, and we're looking at coming along on Friday, May 27th. So all you Birmingham heads, spread the word and get yourselves ready, because you know it's always a big old night when we come to town. So that's pretty cool, right? That's kind of everything that's going on, I think. I've got some more filming coming up. That's kind of irrelevant to you guys. I'm just looking at my phone and seeing if anything else is jumping out. That's about it, really. I've probably taken up enough of your time. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's Monday, technically, when you're listening to this. It might be Sunday night. It might be Monday. You can listen to it when you want, mate, to be honest. But on Wednesday, as I said, I've got a Michael Socker, who's great. I loved him. Really enjoyed his company. And then Kathy Burke and Izzy Sooty in coming weeks. We will also have... Oh, that's what I should tell you about, dude. There's another podcast. There's two more podcasts about to launch on the network. So where to begin? They're both drug-related. So I've told you about Tuesday Night Jaw. That's our wrestling podcast with Jim Smallman. It's great. Go and subscribe to it. You're going to enjoy it. Then we've got two drug ones coming. Let's talk first of all about Say Why to Drugs. And this is with Susie Gage. And a lot of you were a big fan. It's one of the most popular episodes is when we had Dr. Susie Gage on. And in that episode, we talked about her doing her own podcast. And it's taken about a year to get it together, but it's happening. And what it's going to be is a monthly or a weekly, we're not sure the details, it's going to be an episodic podcast, and each episode she picks a specific drug and talks about it. And for the first, I think, five, I'm her guest, and she's talking about them with me. And it's more to give her someone to talk to and to teach. And the important part for me on this isn't a pro-drugs podcast, this isn't an anti-drugs podcast, this is a pro-truth and an anti-myth podcast. It's about the truth about these different drugs. The first five that we covered, because we recorded these the other week. I've been busy, man. I've recorded a lot of podcasts lately. The first five that we covered is weed, alcohol, tobacco, MDMA, and ketamine. And they were fascinating. It's amazing. It's so interesting to me to talk to a doctor about these things and learn the truths about them and the myths about them. And I think these are going to be genuinely important podcasts down the line. I think they're great. It's going to be great to have a body of work that grows that's just, look, here's the facts. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this. But if you're going to do this, then you should maybe have a listen and learn a bit and learn the risks, the benefits, all these things. So yeah, they're great. And that's coming soon on the Distraction Pieces Network. But also, and this is live on Thursday the 28th at Waterstones in Tottenham Court Road. I've just plucked that from my memory. The new Stop and Search podcast with Jason Reed. Now, Jason Reed works with Leap UK, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition UK, and they're a group of judges and ex-policemen and numerous other people who have been working to change the drug laws in the UK. There's Leap is international. They're trying to change the drug laws around the world and get things right and on track. And Jason's doing these live ones. I think his first week, he's got a Dr. Susie Gage on the first week and Robin Ince and loads of amazing people. And you can go down to these for free to watch and be in the audience. As said, just Google it or look at Jason Reed's Twitter or the UK Leap Twitter or a Leap UK, whichever way it is. So yeah, that's coming soon as well. The network is growing and taking over. I can't wait for all of these podcasts to come out. As much as anything, I mean, the ones I'm not on, it's just more stuff for me to listen to. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, that is more than you need. This was an extra podcast that you didn't even ask for. I've forced myself upon you for over 30 minutes. I humbly apologise. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Scribius. Oh, in next week's podcast with Michael Stocker, I have the longest. I basically have a breakdown during the outro. So good luck with that, guys. I'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
Hello, I just ended the podcast, but I'm now adding another bit on the end. I recorded that last chunk on Wednesday, and I'm recording this on Friday morning, the morning before we go and shoot the video mentioned, but the morning after the passing of Prince, who is, without contest, my favourite recording artist and musician and performer of all time. And it's you know, obviously it's a sad day, and I wanted to just add, just jump on here and have a little talk about it, because I mean, I did a few posts on social media. I just posted some pictures. I didn't feel I needed to share anything in that manner, and I got loads and loads of messages. It was kind of beautiful, to be honest. I've stayed off social media a bit, but when I've gone there, I've got tons of messages from people checking if I'm all right, which is lovely, because, again, an awareness. I've talked, a lot of my fan base will know, I've talked about Prince a lot over the years at live shows. We've covered his songs numerous times, and yeah, I'm a big fan. And yeah, I mean, that's beautiful, but I just kind of want to talk about it and kind of say how unbelievably okay I am. And it's weird timing, because on the bit you've just listened to, I talk about how the 25th of April is my favourite day of the year, because it's the anniversary of the passing of one of my best friends. And I love the fact that on that day everyone reminisces and posts pictures and things like that. And it's kind of similar with Prince. I've shed some tears at points, but they've been smiling tears. It was a similar thing when Howard Marks died recently, who I had on the podcast and had the honour of spending some time with. Death doesn't make me sad. Death's an inevitability. It's a fact of life. It's the last fact of life. It's the last and universal fact of life. And I don't think there's anything sad about that, really. I wouldn't wish immortality on my worst enemy. It's that to me seems like hell. Life can be exhausting, but it's meant to be finite and it's meant to have its moments and it's meant to burn while it burns. And I mean, Prince of all people, it seemed like he had a pretty fucking cool life, like possibly the coolest life anyone's ever lived. So at any point when that ends, I don't see that. I don't see the sadness. I see beauty. Any sadness that you can find is, it comes from selfishness. And again, I think selfishness is a word that's greatly misunderstood and gets a bad press. It's not an insult. There's a level of selfishness in all of us. It's essential for our survival, for our happiness, for our joy. Some level of selfishness is absolutely fine. And the reason I feel the only reason to be sad about Prince's passing is selfishness is because, you know, we potentially miss out on more music. And often when people pass, that's kind of a bullshit line, because in reality, they're past their prime. But You Know by Prince, which came out like two and a half years ago, is one of my favourite Prince songs of all time. The dude still very much had it. But again, anyone who's mourning the thought of not getting any more Prince songs, you know, the dude played literally thousands of gigs, and most gigs he played another gig afterwards somewhere else. The dude gave us a lot. You know, we can't ask for much more than that. The guy, I believe in a 37-year career, he had 39 albums and numerous live things and collaborations. So again, like, the thought that we've been cheated out of anything is kind of crazy. We really haven't. We've been blessed with so much amazing music. And the thing I don't enjoy or celebrate death. Death doesn't make me sad, but the human reaction to death can be one of the most beautiful things that we will ever witness in our lives. And it regularly is. And social media, for all its faults, kind of allows that to spread so beautifully. The tears I've shed have been watching, Jennifer Hudson and the cast of The Colour Purple musical performing, like, on the day that Prince passed, coming out at the end of the show and performing Purple Rain with the crowd and with the audience, and some of the most beautiful and passionate vocal performances I've ever seen. And then the videos of the streets of Minnesota awash with humans just listening to Prince and celebrating and singing and dancing and just allowing that spirit to bubble over in every way. And God damn, how can I be sad about that? You know, when beautiful outpourings of humanity are going on in that manner, you don't see that every day, man. You really don't. And I said early on about my friend passing. And the fact is, I remember Jay all the time. He pops up every now and then. But it's been more than 10 years now. And it's not every day. It saddens me in a way to say that. And I feel almost ashamed or failing in some way to say that. But it's not every day that I think of my dear friend. But, you know, I do think of him a lot. He comes up. But on this day, I definitely think about him, and everyone thinks about him, and memories are shared, and it's a beautiful thing. It's the guaranteed time to celebrate someone's life. And it's similar with Prince, you know, just the things I'm already seeing on social media are just, they're so beautiful. And whilst I'm choosing to stay off social media a little bit during this period, to be a passive user, to go on to absorb but not particularly to give much back. Sorry guys, I apologize for not giving you a much back in this time. But yeah, I'm enjoying going on and just seeing some of the beauty being shared and taking all that in. And as I said, I love, like, Prince is without doubt my favorite artist of all time. The pictures I posted on Instagram and that are just pictures from around my house of different cardboard cutouts I've got of Prince, framed posters I've got of Prince, records, picture discs, box sets, all sorts, just stuff that I had laying about. And yeah, I posted a picture as well of my goddaughter Juno, not Juno, Lola, her older sister Lola, I've just confused them, how rude, of Lola at her first ever gig, which she came to with me, Kate, Amy and Warren, and it was Prince at Hop Farm. And again, it's a beautiful memory, and that gig was like no other I've ever seen. It's the only time I got to see Prince, but goddamn, I'm glad I did, because it was he always felt he wasn't of this world. That's why, again, it doesn't feel that weird for him to be gone to me. It feels quite normal and logical. It feels weirder that he was here. You know, that's kind of the strange fact. And yeah, I've seen some of my favorite. I've seen some of the most amazing performers of all time. But every time they've walked on stage, it's felt like a musician or a person. And let's be specific, a human are walking on stage. And I know Prince was a human. I'm not being an idiot, but it didn't feel like a human when it walked on stage. It felt like an entity. It felt like a vibe and a being and a feeling as he sauntered on stage and then put in one of the most amazing, technically amazing, charismatically amazing, artistically amazing performances I've ever seen for hours. And I got to experience that, and that's beautiful. And again, even if I hadn't got to experience that, I couldn't be that mad, because there were many opportunities. The dude played like crazy. If anything, it tells you to go and see that band that you like and go and get out to live gigs and take them in, because even if that person stays alive, these things only exist in that moment, unless they're being filmed for a DVD or some shit. But in general, they're one of the few experiences left that are just in that moment, and it's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I just wanted to record a little chat and comment on the passing of the great Prince. And I got into Prince quite late in my life. I fell heavily in love, not like the wonderful Natasha Fox, who was on my Stretch Pieces album and has been on loads of the tours and on the War and Peace album, and she's been posting pictures of when she had Prince records as a kid, and she went to see Prince numerous times over the years, and her mum brought her up to listen to Prince. It's a beautiful thing. And many people, a lot of my friends kind of grew up listening to Prince and had this relationship with their parents that involved Prince, which is a beautiful thing. And for me, it was different to that. I was kind of half into Prince, and then when was it? Probably in 2003, 2004, me, Mark, Kate and Tracy Ann all went to New York, and we were in this bar and Let's Go Crazy came on. And I don't think I'd ever heard that song. I'd heard loads of Prince songs. I'd heard all the hits, and Let's Go Crazy came on. And I was kind of, I'd always been a fan of Prince. I'd been into his stuff, but I wasn't really that knowledgeable. And that came on and it just blew me away. And again, what a beautiful intro, and poignant intro, his embracing of the afterworld. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you there's something else, the afterworld. And yeah, it's beautiful. Prince, I saw an interview as well been posted of Prince talking about exactly that, how he'll celebrate, like he wasn't into birthdays, he doesn't celebrate his birthday, which anytime you find something that's a connection with someone you admire is kind of cool. And I'm not that into birthdays. It's why I started to release something on my birthday each year. It's kind of an excuse to have work to do and not have my family or friends being like, oh, what you can do? Let's do this or let's do that. And it's not because I'm against them. They're fine. But I don't know. My belief is I don't celebrate things that much because I feel it should just be what you're trying to do. I'll explain that a bit more. Like if I get a really good gig, or if I get at the moment an acting gig comes in, I've not gone out and celebrated any of them because that was my aim. You know, that was what I was meant to do. I was meant to go out and get that gig. And if I celebrate, it's acting as if that was a special one-off thing. It's like, no, I intend to continue to get a lot of good things happen in the rest of my career. That's the goal. And it shouldn't be oh my God, this has happened, because it feels like it means you're taking your foot off the gas or making that the abnormal rather than the normal. And similarly with birthdays, each year I stay in on New Year's Eve and I plan my goals and what I want to achieve that year and things like that and what I have achieved the last year, and I have a good night of focus. And kind of one of the unwritten ones each year is to like stay alive. So again, a birthday kind of going, yay, I've survived another year. It's not that amazing to me. It's like, well, that was the plan. Cool. Again, I'm not anti-birthdays. And Prince put it in this interview. He said, if we never knew, if no one told us at the beginning of our lives that we were going to die, then we wouldn't celebrate our birthdays. We'd just get on with our lives and get on with everything else. We wouldn't be like, yes, another year without dying. You know, we'd just get on with it. And then he stated, yeah, I'll celebrate my death day. Because within his beliefs system, he'll be passing on to another place. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I wanted to have a quick talk and a quick tribute to the legendary Prince. The greatest to ever do it, in my opinion. Yeah, I could keep talking for ages. There's so many clips on YouTube and different things and different moments. His performance of Cream with just him and an acoustic guitar on that MTV Unplugged thing. The wit and the cheekiness is beautiful. That time he got up with a James Brown and he got up after Michael Jackson and he got up and just blew everyone away and was just the smoothest. I talked about that on one of the podcasts recently. Just, yeah, amazing. Amazing dude. And I'm smiling right now. I'm smiling. I'm welling up at the same time, but I'm smiling because, man, I'm grateful for... I mean, today is the first day in my life I've had to exist without Prince existing. And man, that's lucky. You know, he's been going... He had a 37-year career. That's older than me. So at no point until now have I had to live without Prince writing or recording or making work or just being a presence on this planet. So I feel lucky to have gone this far with that. That's kind of beautiful. So yeah, anyway, I'm going to go and prep stuff for tonight's video shoot. Rain is scheduled, which is annoying, but that was the way we did No Nimbus as well. I was drenched, so we'll make do. And that will be up, if you listen to this on Monday, I'm going to sling that up at 10 p.m. to 10 p.m. 10 a.m. I think. So yeah, check that out. I'm sure I should have promoed loads of stuff. I'm sure I ended the last podcast with loads of really handy links and promos, but just go and listen to Prince, man. In fact, that's a great point. The mine and Dan's first ever album, Angles, on the vinyl, they had a thing where you could have something ingrained into the vinyl on the inner hole. And we chose a side each. And on my side, what I asked to be written was listen to Prince. So go and listen to Prince.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.